here. There's no way this guy. It's like the only good thing Deontay Banks did in that game. He hit him so hard, he like launched him in the air. I think that one's on Pickens at the end of the day. He had two touchdowns go off the board. One is not his fault. It's on his Georgia teammate, Broderick Jones. The other one is, I would say, on him. And the only grace I will give him here, and I think obviously the long catch he had was terrific. He was making like a contested hands catch in traffic there, so I'm sure that's number one focus. And you probably, if you're him, figure if I catch this ball, I'm going to get both feet down, but he didn't.
If I told you that you were not allowed to say, well, they've won the last two Super Bowls in your answer,
mm-hmm.
In your opinion, what makes the 2024 Chiefs at 7-0 different from the Steelers team that started, 12-0 in 2020?
Okay, if I'm not allowed to say they've won the last two Super Bowls, I'm still allowed to say they have Patrick Mahomes, who I've already seen throughout his career be phenomenal.
But this version of Patrick Mahomes is not phenomenal.
No, this version of him is like playing like a below league average quarterback.
That's what I mean. So I brought that up because when we watched that team start off undefeated, it got to a point where they were winning games, but we both thought, damn.
See, I think that team was tripped, but that team, would you agree, trended consistently downward after like a certain apex? I do think the Chiefs have played two of their better games of the whole season lately.
I mean, they only beat the Raiders by a touchdown.
Offensively,
Chris.
I thought the Raiders game was one of their better games. And then I thought defensively what they did to the Niners was just very impressive.
I mean, they were a goal stand play away in the second half after a Mahomes interception from going down to the Raiders on the road. I mean,
to be fair, like I'm trying to be as even-keeled as possible about them. We're saying all this stuff about Kansas City. Where do you think they rank in scoring offense right now?
I think they're like eighth or ninth.
They're ninth. Their defense is fifth. They're still top 10 in the league in both.
Yeah, I think that they're...
We hold them to an insane standard because they've lived
okay,
up to
but
it.
I'm just saying, having watched their games, I don't feel like there's this invincibility veil over them that makes me think this year's version of the Steelers can't beat them.
I would think that, and I think with Wilson, I could at least squint and say, like, hey.
He beat him last year.
Yeah.
You bring that up all the time. He won. He beat the Chiefs.
I do think they're a different animal come playoff time, and I want to see how their offense, like, sort of matures with Hopkins in the fold now in the receiving core. But to try to be as fair as I can be here and not just get sucked into the trap of they're the Chiefs, it'll always go their way, it's just how it is. I do not think they are even a top three team in the NFL right now. Right this second. I would take the Lions over them for sure. And if these two teams played tomorrow on a neutral field, I would still take Baltimore to beat them.
I would not. Not with their defense,
I would
Chris.
Take Baltimore to beat them. I think the Lions might actually pummel them. Here are a couple other teams I think would give them absolute hell. I think Green Bay could also give them a really hard time. I think if the Niners were fully healthy, it might be a different story. Like, that means CMC is in there and all that stuff. And then I think here's what the Chiefs are vulnerable to this year that I don't think they've been that vulnerable to in the past. Even though their defense is still top five in the league, any guy like Cousins who can get hot, I know they've beaten the Falcons this year, or like Baker if he gets on like a heater. Like some of these quarterbacks who are capable in a random game of just going for 390
right, and
yards.
Right, and I think Russell Wilson's one of those
problems.
Guys for us. I think that we have...
The Eagles, I think, could beat them. The Commanders, I think, could beat
but
them.
But we have somebody like that now.
No, I know. That's,
we have somebody
that's why
who can
I have
get
to
hot.
Treat the Steelers differently. We have somebody... The other thing I...
And we
I
have Baltimore's number if it comes down
The other
down
thing
to that.
I would say about Wilson is, and to continue to try to put into words how I'm feeling about the Steelers right now is... At any point in the last several years when I felt like their quarterback might be playing well, especially the rare times it happened with Pickett, I was like, when's the other shoe going to drop? Like, eventually there is a balancing of the scales here. It's going to revert back to form. Because Wilson has been so good for so long and only recently has fallen way out of favor with a lot of people on the field, because he has a track record and a resume, a back of the baseball card, like, I don't feel like, hey, when's the other shoe going to drop with Russell Wilson? When are these passes going to fall incomplete? He threw, remember, you see the one where he threw yesterday? He was trying to roll left and he threw it way behind Austin, like it one hopped him. Very bad pass.
Yeah.
I was just like, here's how I used to look at Ben when he would do that, like in his prime. I'd say, who cares? Like, bad play design.
He can make up for it.
Well,
the next
I wouldn't even, no, you know what, honestly? I wouldn't even think about the play in any kind of critical long term way. I'd just be like, crappy play.
He'll get him next time.
I just say, like, what's going to happen the next one? He might throw a 25-yard post into a window the size of a bread drawer.
412-928-9370 on the Steelers' win over the Giants. Deontay Johnson's gone to Baltimore. Thinking about the Steelers' ceiling and where the season is going, here is Andy on the fan. Hello, Andy.
Hey, guys. So to answer your question about needing a receiver, there was really three things from last night that I saw that said, yeah, we still need another receiver number two. First thing, obviously, what everyone said is that Van Jefferson route for the touchdown. Receiver two sits right, catches that. Also, the Scotty Miller missed completion. No one's really talking about that. I thought that was a great ball from Russ. On the replay, it goes right through his hands.
Yep.
Right? So he needs to catch that. And then number three, similar to the Scotty Miller, him just being on the field, we're still putting, you know, we're taking Pickens off the field on third downs and putting Van Jefferson and guys off the practice squad to play third and long. So we really need another receiver if we're going to play formations like that. And then lastly, if Pickens, let's say, God forbid, goes down with an injury, we're really screwed. We don't have anybody. So I think those are all reasons right there why we really need to get a receiver too.
All right, so who then?
Well, I like really Jacoby Myers from Vegas. I think he would be, we get him for this year and next year, 27 years old. He'd be my number one guy right now, but outside of him, I think Darius Slayton will be too much from
so
what
I'm
hearing.
So, Andy, okay, but I haven't heard a lot of scuttlebutt
Slayton's,
on him.
Slayton's what, cheap, so the draft compensation could be lesser or could be greater.
I mean, so that then all of the all the complimentary things people have said about the Steelers today, Andy, you think that it's premature because they haven't traded for another wide receiver?
All the complimentary things about them playing well and being sick
and big picture.
No, just their big picture, yeah.
It's a very optimistic bent people have generally. You think that's too soon?
No, I mean, I think we're a good team, but I think if we're talking about now being a championship caliber team, we need another receiver. I mean, I think that's our glaring weakness on this team. That's where I'm at.
That's fair. Okay, now that you said it that way, I would agree with that. I think if you give them Darius Slayton, just for example, I think they become – I know he's, like, not a major addition, although I think you saw what he was capable of yesterday. Everyone kind of did. He hit a couple deep shots. Minka made a great play to stop a play down the sideline that he would have had otherwise. Suddenly you
have –
That was
a bad play by Jones.
It was a bad play by Jones. If Jones throws the ball a quarter second earlier, it's a completion. He makes their offense look a lot different because I think he's also a guy you saw could go down the middle for a big play, could go up the sidelines for plays. He's got some drop problems this year, but not like so much so that I think you would find it to be glaring. I'm watching that Pickens play, by the way, again on TV, and I just still cannot fathom how he was not inbounds.
I didn't even think about it as an incomplete pass until...
Neither did Buck and Aikman until they, like, I think they realized the officials were going back and looking at it, and then they were like, oh, yeah, he really didn't get that second foot down. I think if you put Slayton on this team, their offense just becomes, you know, a couple ticks better. Right now, they're like, middle of the league in both yardage and points, and I think that they could go top 10 to 12
in the league. I have to confess something. I am starting to think that I under-appreciated or undersold Austin. I do think he might be more than just a gadgety player and a jet sweep guy in the old Matt Canada offense and the occasional guy that you try to throw a home run ball to. There's a little bit more wiggle there, and he –
The one that he scored a touchdown on yesterday was a regular, wide receiver route.
People were tweeting in the press box at the game yesterday. They're like, this guy's open on every play. He's always open.
First play of the game was him.
He's always open.
He was open on the play. Russ got the ball batted down in the end zone early.
But people in the press box are shocked that he's not getting the ball thrown his way more. So maybe I think I have to be a little bit more open-minded.
Hey, Sauce Gardner said toughest cover he ever had in college.
Yeah, guy just walked in. He was unbelievably jacked. When am I going to get like that, Malzy?
You know what's like
Would you use creatine if you're me?
I don't think creatine's like bad for you. It's not like, you know.
How about testosterone treatments?
Do you think you need them?
Seth is shaking his head. No, he doesn't think that I need
them. So that dude who just walked in who obviously could like, you know, rip us in half. I always laugh when I say like, oh, you know, I want to lift weights, but I don't want to get too jacked. It's such like an idiotic thing to say. I would have to lift weights for years and take supplements.
Well, how did Vince McMahon get jacked
steroids,
so fast?
Anabolic steroids.
Horse steroids, basically.
He had more clenbuterol and Winstrol and Stanzolol.
But he went from skinny and normal to jacked out of his mind.
He was never a skinny small guy. He was always a pretty big dude.
Muscular, yeah, but then like Jesse the Body Ventura made fun of him, so I think that's what got him on it.
That was his inspiration.
Listen to me, McMahon. They don't want to hear about pipsqueaks like you. They want to look at the real Adonises of the WWE.
You know, I always use the boxing analogy, but when you're in a heavyweight fight, you got to be able to respond. You got to be able to keep your chin up and keep going. And it takes one, two, three hits sometimes. I think that's the thing about us is that we got great belief. We got unwavering faith in one another. And there's more touchdowns out there. There's more plays. There's more things. And we'll do that, you know. And I think the best thing about it is you know, learning from what we've done really well so far, learning what we can get better at, but also understanding that it's a process. It's, you know, you want to be on the rise as you go.
Russell Wilson, really out of nowhere, a great time in Pittsburgh sports. Great time to be alive. Steelers at 6-2 in first place. They've got a quarterback who they, like the Phoenix rising from the ashes, they brought back to life here after those down years in Denver. Even Mark Schlereth is doubling down after his visit with us last Monday and is saying, I was wrong. Russell Wilson can still cook. We've got Marc-Andre Fleury back in town tonight, and we know Penguins fans love nostalgia. I love nostalgia. I'll be there probably blubbering like a baby seeing him for the last time. And we've got Pitt in a ranked matchup and Penn State in a ranked matchup on Saturday. So a lot going on. This is just the tip of the iceberg. If things keep rolling for these teams, I'm not going to touch the money and put the cart before the horse like some others have and guarantee a Super Bowl or anything like that. I'm hearing some other hosts are saying things along those lines, but
who?
Who do you think?
Starkey?
No.
Crowley?
Maybe.
What is he doing? When's he walking across that bridge?
Not right. This bridge right out here. He said he's going to have to do it in a thong for his Pirates in the playoffs.
Not that I'm in any rush to actually see that happen, but he does pay his bets, man. He is known as
Does he strike you as a hairy ass guy?
Be honest with you, Pony. I've not spent 1 second of my life thinking about whether or not Adam Crowley is a hairy ass.
Now I'm putting you on the spot.
I abstain. I don't want to think about.
Your job as a talk show host is to always have an opinion on things.
I'm going
to
go with no.
See, then I'll go with yes to be different.
He had an unusual amount of like hair coming out of the top of a T-shirt.
Oh, then
like
he's a chest hair, hairy like a Jared Jones situation. Probably a member of the Hairy Ass Club then.
Oh. I think he's like the treasurer of that.
The treasurer? Who's the secretary? Vice president?
The guy that's on the cover of the Warren Zevon Werewolves of London album. Which I don't know if it's an actual
Does
werewolf.
Does the hair club for men still exist, by the way?
No.
No?
I think the
Wasn't the hook for that, not only am I a president, I'm also a customer.
I think the more advanced hair replacement entities out there have knocked it off.
Because I'll tell you what, they kind of had a neat little thing going with the hair club for men. Like, yeah, you're bald, but you can be in this club.
Well, and the guy said, I'm not only the president, I'm a client.
I just said that.
I know. I thought that was a great pitch by the guy. I'm with you on that, dude. I don't know why you're getting mad at me for saying that was a good sales idea.
Donnie, you know why I'm mad at him, because I think he didn't hear me say it at all.
I was looking at you right in the eye when you said it. Where else could I have been?
That doesn't mean you were actually listening to me.
I was staring right at you when you said it. Here's Jim in Monroeville. Hello, Jim.
Thank you for taking my call this evening.
Sure.
Great show.
Thanks.
You all made great points earlier about all three parts of the team working really well, special teams, defense, obviously the offense with Russ Wilson, the offense with Russ Wilson, 30-plus points. I was impressed with last night's win. I like to see special teams score. I like to see special teams plays. It looked like, you know, all parts were moving with the exception of the penalties in the red zone.
Are they better than the Chiefs?
Impressed. Not yet. I want to see some division games within the AFC North.
Are they better than the Ravens right now? Gun to your head.
Yes.
Malzi?
I'm a little nervous about the sheer number of people in this town who are already ready to put them ahead of the Ravens. I understand we've seen two really good games from the offense in a row, and I'm as excited as anybody. But I get the sense sometimes that people don't actually watch Baltimore week to week. Their defense is
not
good.
Oh, I watched them. They just got lit up by Jameis Winston on Sunday.
And you know what? If Kyle Hamilton, who is one of the better safeties in all of football, doesn't drop like a 99 times out of 100, it would be caught pick in the on the final drive. The very next play, Jameis throws the winning touchdown. They win that game.
And if a guy doesn't make a Herculean effort after spraining his testicle and come right back into the game, maybe the Steelers beat the Cowboys and they're 7-1 instead of 6-2 right now, Chris. If his sand butts were candy and nuts, we could do this all day.
I think the Ravens' offense is so good and so versatile.
Sure.
And able to hurt you in so many ways. I could not pick the Steelers to beat them on a neutral field right now.
But why? You've seen them beat them 6 out of the last 7 times.
I just, again, I've got to respect what I've seen from Baltimore. I think this is the most dangerous version of their offense I've ever seen.
I think that that's a fine assessment, but you're also seeing
Derrick Henry, where they've never had a Hall of Fame running back.
I know, but it's reminiscent of what the Steelers were during the Killer Bees era, where the offense was great and the defense was so far behind that, like, mediocre teams like Blake Bortles and the Jaguars could light them up.
This is going to make you laugh, and I think the Ravens are still like one of the 3 or 4 best teams in the league. I also think they have the 2 worst losses in the NFL this year on paper, the Raiders in that game on Sunday. Here is a reason, if you're going to ask me, Chris, why would you, if you were going to pick the Steelers to beat them tomorrow in a game, why would you? Do you actually want to know what it is? I think John Harbaugh is a liability to them in those situations.
Agreed. And as now you've got Deontay Johnson waiting.
What do the kids say now when you like praise somebody too much? Like, as much as we glaze him, is that... Donnie, is that what people say?
Glaze? You're like glazing. An effing donut?
That's going to have to be a Ben Tanuda question there.
Yeah, I think that's like the new word. I think that's the new word for like you're giving a guy way too much credit. As much as over the years people have glazed Harbaugh in this town, oh, he's such a great coach, Tomlin can't hold a candle. The reality is he gets up his own ass basically when he's coaching against Mike Tomlin because he's desperate to prove how smart he is.
And I think
he ends up screwing his own team over in the process.
And he's doing things that we rail against Tomlin for. He's losing to teams that he should beat 99 out of 100
quarter
times.
Leads.
Yeah. Here is Eric on the fan. Hello, Eric.
Hi, guys. Now that the quarterback controversy is over and the team's looking good overall, I do want to nitpick one area of the team that I think needs to be improved, and it's been this way for years. It's Tomlin's inability to challenge the right plays and to call timeouts in a logical fashion. And, you know, he gave away a timeout by challenging a non-challengeable call last night.
Yep.
And then in the fourth quarter, the Steelers had 3 timeouts. They're playing defense, and the Giants are driving down the field. T.J. Watt's on the sideline, sucking wind. Now, they got lucky that Beanie Bishop came up with the game-winning interception, but T.J. Watt, sucking wind, we had 3 timeouts, there's under a minute, and he could have called a defensive timeout. The clock was already stopped anyway.
I don't disagree with that either, but let me ask you this question. Has he done a good job this year, yes or no?
No, he's still... When is he going to win a challenge? When is
Eric,
he going to win a challenge? I'm
Eric,
talking about game day.
He benched
a 6-2 motivator, but game day coaching.
They've won 6 out of the 8 games they've played. So if you're talking about game day, how can he be a bad coach this year with a 6-2 record?
It's going to cost him in one of these close games against a better team. He's making bad decisions when it comes to challenges.
It already did. It already reared its ugly head in the Dallas game with the timeout.
I think the challenging of the play, the Pickens play, is inexcusable. I said that earlier. He's on the competition committee. He's got to know that. I don't think his answer after the game remotely passes muster. But this is where we get into the derangement syndrome. No, he's done a bad job this year. What is he being graded on then in the end? Is he being graded on whether they win games or not?
He made a decision that literally
was massively unpopular.
Had never been made before.
And the team is objectively and obviously better for it.
No team had ever benched a starting quarterback that was healthy that had gone 4-2 to start a season.
See, so, I'm all here for, like, if you would like to get after him on some of the things that have frustrated people about
yes,
Mike.
Yes, and we
for
just
years.
Brought up one of them from the game
but,
last night.
Like, where you lose me if you're going to call in and complain about the head coach is if you just throw a large blanket over all of his work and say, actually, he sucked really bad. He's a liability for them. Then John Harbaugh sucks for the Ravens and is a liability for them.
And you're picking them to be the team that could beat...
Well, no, I'm just saying, fair is fair at this point. John Harbaugh's blown more 10-point fourth-quarter leads, I think, than any coach in football over the last, like, 3 or 4 years.
Here's Mario on the fan. Hello, Mario.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, man.
Well, I was calling about the receiver situation. I heard you guys mention a lot of different guys, but how come nobody's mentioning Calvin Ridley?
Because he makes a lot of money.
Is he injured? Or?
He makes a ton
because
of money.
Of the money situation.
Yes.
He got a he got a $70 million deal from Tennessee.
So that we can't do the cap thing with him then, probably.
No, I don't think so.
Well, if you look at the Giants last night, I mean, anybody you take from them, you should be able to improve on, wouldn't you think?
I thought Slayton made a great impression. They kept feeding him the ball. He kept beating Dante Jackson. He looked like he would be a very useful player and fit right into their offense. Middle of the field, outside, intermediate, deep. I mean, he's just Chris was right. He's just a solid wide receiver. And you could do a lot worse than him. I think he's a significant upgrade over Van Jefferson. So I'd like to see what an offense looked like with him, Austin, and George Pickens as the alpha dog. I think you'd have... It still would not be an upper echelon wide receiver room, but it would be substantially better than what it is
now. What we have to acknowledge, though, is it might not be on paper upper echelon, but you might now have a quarterback who actually is elevating the guys that he's throwing to, because it's looking like Wilson's doing that.
5:30 the day after a Steelers game means it's time for PM team professors to hand out our grades. This time it's for the Steelers' 26-18 win over the Giants. We grade the Steelers' offense, defense, coach, and quarterback. Malzi, you're first up on the Steelers' offense.
I'm going to give the offense a B+. They moved the ball really well, racked up over 400 yards again. Wilson, I thought, had the passing game going, but I can't give him an A because they produced 19 points of their own. And we're 0-4 in red zone trips. Wilson has been terrific in the red zone of recent vintage. Last year, 20 touchdowns, one pick in Denver when he would get in the red zone. So really enjoyed the way they moved the ball. Thought their first drive of the game was one of the best-looking drives they put together in literal years, undone by a Broderick Jones face mask. It pains me to say that. Everybody knows what I said about Jones. He'd be the best left tackle in team history. He might still be. He also looks like one of the worst right tackles in recent team history. But you know what? We don't play the game on this PM Team Professor segment of, well, if this hadn't happened, then this would have been the case. The bottom line is they only produced 19 points. Not very efficient, despite all the yardage. So B+ is the highest I can go here.
Donnie?
I'm going to go with a B. And yeah, it's because they were unable to convert in the red zone. And I don't even think that after what we saw last night, maybe once we do get Justin Fields back to full health, maybe we start to see a wrinkle or two in the red zone with him. But, yeah, Russell Wilson's numbers were great there last season. You would have hoped a little bit better last night against that team. But like Chris said, I mean, they had over 400 yards of offense. They were moving it with ease with really anything they did. But you got to be able to punch it in a little bit more, so that's why they don't get an A.
I'm going to go with a B-, and I'm going to admit that I'm a harsh grader here. They did not have the defense set them up with any like short fields. The only turnover came on that last play, or the two turnovers late, Watt and then Beanie Bishop, and they did not give the offense like an advantageous situation. So most of the points here, other than the special teams touchdown, they had to earn going the length of the field every time. So if this were just a game played between the 20s, you give them an A, but it's not. I thought the run game was really good. I thought the passing attack was really good. But when I see 0-4, I can't. Given what we knew about the Giants coming into this game with their secondary problems, they benched their number one corner mid-game because he got hurdled over and didn't put up much of an effort. If I told you before the game only 19 points from the Steelers' offense, you probably would have given them a C. I'm going to give them a higher grade, though, because of all the yards they racked up. So I'll settle on B-. Donnie, Steelers' defense.
I'm actually going to go with a C here and maybe even a C-. I didn't expect to come away from this game more concerned with the defense than I was with the offense, but that is what I was. Now, you take out Alex Highsmith and T.J. Watt, It's an even worse grade because those guys ended up becoming game wreckers, especially in the second half, like we expected them to against the caliber of tackles they were facing on both the left and right side. I mean, so those guys had a lot of fun. We ended up getting the Beanie Bishop interception at the end, so a couple of takeaways. But the Giants, they were going toe-for-toe with that Steelers offense. We were watching Daniel Jones and Tyrone Tracy and our guy, hopefully our guy, future guy, Darius Slayton, have big games. Now, I'll credit them for, and Joey Porter Jr., for locking down Malik Nabers for the most part, but it was a little bit worrisome how easily the Giants were moving the football at times.
I'm going to go just a straight C, because it's average. The Giants, it was their lowest offensive output on the road all year, 18 points. So they did what other teams were not able to do. Seattle wasn't able to play that well against the Giants offense. I think the Browns gave up more points than that, but I'm not wanting to compare the Steelers to those two teams because I want to believe, given how much they paid for this defense, that they would do better than that. The run defense, I can't go any higher than a C because of how bad it was. It's not like Daniel Jones played a bad game and they made him look like some scrub, which he pretty much is, given how much they paid him and the return on that contract so far. So you hold an opponent under 20. It's hard for me to give you a bad grade. But when I see over 6 yards per carry for the other team and it's not some great running back, I can't give you a better grade than a C, so I'll just keep it right there as an average grade.
I'll go C plus. They did give up 6 yards per play, 5.9 actually, if you want to be very technical. Everything you said there is true. Tracy just ran all over them. Jones didn't look bad. However, when push came to shove, they got a strip sack when they needed it. They got an interception when they needed it. Their defense did make the plays that sealed the game, even if they were part of the reason that the Steelers were in a position to have the game sealed. I am definitely concerned to some degree about the way the Giants move the ball on them, but turnovers still matter. They forced two of them. They heated up Daniel Jones. I will say the one caveat to all this where I was tempted to give them a lower grade, the Giants were their worst own enemy with penalties on offense. Just like
true.
Weird shifting penalties,
yeah.
Holding penalties, sloppy, not detail-focused and detail-oriented stuff. So while I'm tempted to give them a lower grade, I will give them a C-plus because they did make some big plays late.
Steelers quarterback, that would be Russell Wilson for this game. I am giving him a B-plus. He is not in the A category because, and some of these were not his fault, but overall, he is the guy that is the conductor of the offense. When you can't cash drives into touchdowns, I'm going to dock you for that. And the fumble he had late in the game, I blame him for that play. It was his decision to take off. It was his decision to try to keep that play alive and run for a first down. He didn't secure the football. So that was his biggest gaffe, his biggest mistake so far as Steelers quarterback. We're still in this malaise where they can't score touchdowns in the first quarter of games. Not as bad as Seth's Eagles, by the way, that who have not scored a point in the first quarter all year. How about that for a stat?
How's
not
this
a
one? Steelers are now up 53-0, I believe, third quarter.
Yep.
Which is an insane stat in its
own
right.
So I'll go B+.
I guess in keeping with the theme that I'm going to be slightly more...
it's not your turn. It's Donnie's.
I thought it was my turn after you.
I thought it was Malzy, too.
My turn.
Okay.
You're the one who sets the order here and then does it in a certain way. It is my turn. I will continue to be very slightly more positive. I'm giving Russ an A-, and here is why. He gets docked down to a minus because of the fumble. However, he didn't face mask somebody to take a touchdown off the board. He did not inexplicably find a way to not get his other foot down. Ball was there in the receiver's hands each time. We're not even talking about Russell Wilson probably fumbling the ball because they're up by so many points. They're probably not in a situation where he's scrambling or taking off. They're probably just deflating the ball at that point and taking the air out of it. He was their best offensive player in balance for the game, and that's as good as Najee Harris was. I still think Russ was better. He has unlocked their passing game in a way I just truly did not see them having the capability to do. He looks like he's turned back the clock. I am tempted to give him just a B+. but he was so good outside the fumble. Van Jefferson doesn't sit down in a zone. Wilson throws it to the open space. That's another play where they don't cash in that I don't think he was at fault. I'll give him the A-minus here, even with the fumble.
Don?
I'm going to roll with Malzi here and also give him an A-minus. He does get docked for the fumble, or else his grade is looking like an A, maybe even better. I mean, if those touchdowns that Chris referenced would have counted, he's probably looking at an A-plus, and he's absolutely looking at 2 for 2 when it comes to game balls. He made some really big throws in the second half. He was outstanding in the second half as a whole. All in all, another really promising week when, you know, my expectations, at least for what we would get out of Wilson, were not this high. So, yet again, he has looked good to me. I know you can say whatever you want about the defenses, although the Giants' pass defense actually not that bad, that people should be pointing out. I'll go A-minus. You do have to dock him for the fumble, and I get it. They shouldn't even have been in that position, but it did happen.
Malzi, Steelers coaching.
I know that when we usually do the coaching thing, we're grading Mike Tomlin, I would say, only. He automatically gets docked like a minus level grade, right? Like 8A minus or whatever, because of the inexplicable decision to try to challenge a play that wasn't challengeable. Mm-hmm. That I've said it a million times, I won't belabor it. That's inexcusable for a guy who's on the competition committee to not know that and then to plead ignorance about it afterward and like say, oh no, I didn't know they were challenging that play. Yeah, you did. You knew they were reviewing it because that's what they do every time they have a scoring play. However, I'm giving coaching an A. Do you want to know why? Because Danny Smith's a coach too, and Mike Tomlin employs him. And so is Arthur Smith, and Mike Tomlin employs him. And while Tomlin and Terrell Austin and the defense didn't really bathe in glory, the special teams was nails again. The offense, I thought, had a great plan and a great concept. And I have to give Tomlin an A too as part of this, because even though I just mentioned that hiccup, this is two games now. The guy decided to start Russell Wilson to the outcry of almost everyone, I would say. I would say 85 to 90% of people were against him. He looks like a genius. We said the guy doesn't know how to handle quarterbacks, and that's why we were so skeptical of this.
Yep.
He appears to have taken the most important button he could or couldn't push and done the exact right thing with it. I have to give him kudos.
Donnie?
Yeah, it maybe wasn't the best night for Mike Tomlin individually, because he does deserve docking for simply not understanding the rules on the George Pickens non-touchdown, but the rest of the staff really shined. I mean, I'm going to pretty much reiterate a lot of what Chris just said. Danny Smith's unit, again, making big plays and doing the simple things right. And the offense, I thought that was actually one of the better-looking games for Arthur Smith. I wish they would have gotten more points out of it. I don't think that was on him, though, because of the mistakes that were made on the field by individual players here and there. I thought play calling wise, though, maybe the smoothest that we saw all season long on his end. So
grade?
I'm gonna go with an A minus.
I went B plus. I like the second half adjustments. It keeps happening. They come out of the gate third quarter. That's when we saw the sacks come. That's when we saw the Giants offense unable to really get any traction going because of what Alex Highsmith and TJ Watt were doing. They were flipping sides, which was a little bit of a wrinkle that we hadn't seen much before, where Watt was lined up over the left tackle sometimes, Highsmith over the right, just to give the Giants something extra to look at. And they have made Najee Harris work in this rushing offense, which after the Cowboys game, I was thinking square peg round hole with him. So there you have it. Steelers, Giants, PMT, Professor Grades.